Maitreya uvacha iti pradarshya bhagavan satim tam atmano gatim swamatra brahmavadinya kapilon numato yayao. Maitreya uvacha. Maitreya said, iti, thus, pradarshya, after instructing, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, satim, venerable, tam, that, atmana, of self-realization, gatim, path, svamatra, from his mother, brahmavarinya, self-realized, kapila, Lord Kapila, anumata, took permission, yayao, left. Translation, Sri Maitreya said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapila, after instructing his beloved mother, took permission from her and left his home, his mission having been fulfilled. Purport. The mission of the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Kapila was to distribute the transcendental knowledge of Shankya philosophy, which is full of devotional service. Having imparted that knowledge to his mother, and through his mother to the world, Kapiladeva had no more need to stay at home, so he took permission from his mother and left. Apparently, he left home for spiritual realization, although he had nothing to realize spiritually, because he himself is the person to be spiritually realized. Therefore, this is an example set by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who are acting like an ordinary human being, so that others might learn from him. He could, of course, have stayed with his mother, but he indicated that there was no need to stay with the family. It is best to remain alone as a brahmachari, sannyasi, or vanaprastha, and cultivate Krishna consciousness throughout one's whole life. Those who are unable to remain alone are given license to live in household life with wife and children, not for sense gratification, but for cultivation. So here we see the basis of considerations in devotional service. We see Kapila Muni now has finished his time in the family. He's established devotional service through his mother. He's enlightened his mother. He's taken care on behalf of the father. Then now he's leaving the house. But we see this leaving the house is not because of disgust or this is terrible or this is, but is because there's no more service. Right? Does it make sense? Relationship is still just as nice as it's always been. You know, the dealings are just as nice, but now it's time to go. Right? This is how Krishna consciousness works. Not that, okay, material life, family life so disgusting, this, that. Because if it's disgust, that is the problem. How much time does it take for the living entity to forget disgust? Right? Means the living entity being Sat Chit Ananda. They'll always remember happiness. They don't remember disgust, right? If you want them to remember that, you have to work at that, right? But you have to really work. You have to indoctrinate the kids, remember. Right? You know, it's like that. When you walk into the museum, the first thing you see there in big letters is words says, remember. Right? So, you have to constantly do this. No, isn't that? Otherwise, it's not going to work. Because it's not natural. It means you, something now that was horrifying to you, a social situation or something that really pained you, really disturbed you, after 30 years, you sit with your friends and laugh about it. Why? Because the soul being Ananda by nature remembers that. That's what maintains. It doesn't have, there is no aspect of the soul that is pain. Does that make sense? So, no matter what your situation is, as if now you become so renounced because family life is so disgusting and so terrible, like that, how long until you forget that? And then what's the motive? What's the drive? Right? In other words, Krishna consciousness can't be based on a negative emotion. It can be, that can be a stepping stone. You can start from anything. You can talk, oh, Krishna consciousness is so nice, or material world is so terrible. It doesn't matter. But eventually it has to come that Krishna consciousness stands on its own. Service to Krishna is the driving force. That is what is important to the living entity. That will last, because that's eternal. Krishna consciousness is nice eternally. Right? Material world being bad, it's only sometimes bad and sometimes not so bad, but in any case it's temporary. Temporariness will always be there, yes. Right? So in other words, what works is the contemplation on the material world, not as disgusting in that, is just how much it doesn't offer anything to the living entity. Right? You want to be with people you love, you can't. People you don't want to be with, you have to be with. This is the way the world works. It just doesn't satisfy the soul. You know, anything that's nice ends. Anything that's not nice seems to never end. It's just the way the world's made. So that's the point, is that this is the wrong place. The spiritual world's eternal. We're eternal. It's full of transcendental activities. We are to be engaged in that. It's full of transcendental love. That is our nature. So that's where we belong. We've made the mistake to think this is that, because it looks the same, right? The reflection in the mirror looks the same, but it's not the real thing, right? So waking up to the reality, then we see as the reality is where we belong, not in the reflection, not in the illusion. Right? So that's the point of this. It's not that renunciation is you know, hallmarked by you know, very rough, nasty behavior. We don't see that. Kapila Muni is leaving the house, right? But he does it with all proper etiquette, respect, proper dealings, full emotion, but he leaves like that. Does this make sense? So it's a very different approach. Like that. Otherwise, then we'll take it, you know, brahmacharya or sannyasa, all these things means, you know, rough, tough, nasty, stinky, like this. And but that's not actually what makes it function. What makes it function is the actual understanding of there's nothing there. Right? There's nothing there to do. That's why it's left. Right? His service is finished, therefore he moves on. It's not that, you know, his mother annoys him, you know, like that. You know, she wakes him up every morning and he has to eat oatmeal, you know, something like that. And that's not why he's leaving. Like that. He's leaving because his service is done. That's how it works. Otherwise, if it's that this is terrible, then it's terrible, yes. And for 10 years, it's terrible. And after 10 years... then appears somebody who doesn't seem to have that same quirks that you found in your family life. So this family life will be so different. Right? And then again we start. Right? But material nature is based on principles, based on a science. The experience is the same. We think, oh, we're so unique, but it's not. We're individual. That individualness is unique. But the experience is not. Right? The dog's very hungry, finds something to eat. He's very happy. Right? The brahmachari is very hungry, finds something in some bucket somewhere to eat. He's very happy. The grihastha comes home, his wife has prepared something very nicely. He sits down to eat. He's very happy. But the experience is exactly the same. But we'll try to say, no, the externals. My externals are better than your externals. That's why my experience is better than yours. Right? I'm on the 86th floor, and you're only on the 47th floor, so my experience is better. Once you close the door, can you tell? You're in the toilet. Can you tell? Yes, I'm in the toilet of an 86th floor apartment. You know, that's why my passing urine is so much better. You know, like that. But you can't tell. But we will create that. But the experience is the same. So every living entity has the same experience in the material world. The same. So it's a matter of the uniqueness is what particular forms you're experiencing it through. That's the difference. But what you're experiencing is the same. Right? I give you a rasgulla. I give it to you in your hand. You eat it. I give it to you in a plastic cup with a little wooden spoon. You eat it. I give it to you in a nice silver bowl with a silver spoon. You eat it. Is the taste going to be any different? No, but the environment it is going to be, oh, this is such a nice amount. Oh, silver spoon. Oh, yes, this and that, like that, you know. So that's going to, we're going to take that actually has the serious influence on this, on the emotion. Right? As far as rasa, it has something, but the actual technical experience is the same. The sense and the sense object is the same. It's only the mind thinks, oh, this environment is nicer, therefore I'm happy. Or this environment's not so nice, so I'm not happy. But the senses and the sense objects are the same. They don't change. That's the point. The illusion is that they do. So therefore, it's not a matter of being rough and tough. It's a matter of, you know, he's following all etiquette, everything like that, but it's time to move on. So that's real. We don't see later, you know, now this is third canto and fifth canto, then Kapila Muni's, you know, gotten back together with his family and all that. Well, I missed you so much. You know, no, it doesn't happen. No, you know, not even later, not seventh canto or twelfth canto just as it ends. And then Kapila Muni, you know. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. So we see is that because of this, the mood and everything, that's why it's there. It's the service that's the basis. The service is the basis. Based on that, then all the other aspects come. Because service to Krishna doesn't mean being rough and uncultured. Right? Service to Krishna means having proper culture and etiquette. So everything goes with it. Krishna's complete, so all these different aspects are complete. Right? The family life, everything is complete if it's connected to Krishna. We don't see it in connection to Krishna. Even though it is complete, we won't be able to appreciate it. Right? Krishna, how he's arranged the material world. Material world is complete in itself. It runs on its own. But if we see it in connection with the complete, we get a proper experience. We don't. We get a temporary, which doesn't match the soul. Okay. Yeah, and then the example is set because most take the external. Most see the external is there, then there's an accomplishment. Because the two, the environment and the experience are connected. But it's the mood creates the environment. Right? Because it means you'll say, oh no, but we went to this nice place and it was all decorated nicely and all that, therefore it created this mood. But how did that decoration happen? Just on its own? You got it out of a box. You know, it came when you bought a can of, you know, baked beans, you got it free on the side, right? You know, so you... No, because someone's mood generated it. So what you're appreciating is their mood. That's why you can go to a place that's seemingly nicely decorated and it doesn't change your mood at all. Why? Because the person who did it didn't have a mood in setting it up. You understand? So it's only a medium. But we take this externals more seriously excuse me, than they deserve. That's the mistake. It's important because someone from their mood has generated it by being in that, then that can generate in you that mood. So that's the importance of it, is the experience. It's not actually the environment. That's why someone can live very simply and generate a very nice experience. So someone can have all facility and not get a nice experience because the mood's not right. Right? So, therefore, then standard things that are there, standard observable situations, those are recommended because those are what generally goes with that mood. But they're not there on their own. It's not because I've gotten this external thing, then that's perfect. No, there's something that creates it. That's what it's trying to get. Right? Spiritual world, it works from, you have the proper mood, therefore then there's the spiritual form. Here we already have a form in that, of course, based on our previous mood, but we're trying to change that mood to transcendental instead of material. Material will go on fine. We have a material body, material situation. It generates different moods and stuff for us. And we'll go on with that nicely. We've been here for a long time doing it. We'll go on more. We're quite good at that. But if you want to change to the spiritual, therefore, since we don't have the spiritual mood, then how are you going to know that something spiritual is going on? Therefore, you change the external environment. But with the training and understanding that the external environment is to invoke that internal mood of Krishna consciousness. But if one forgets that and thinks it's simply the external, so I have the externals, therefore I'm advanced, or yes, this person's advanced because he has the externals. Or if you make the mistake that is explained in previous verses, that someone doesn't have the external, therefore he can't have the mood. Right? So that doesn't... Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur forbade his disciples. Forbade. Only one disciple out of 60,000 could go and see Vamsidas Babaji. One. Why? Because he said, if you see him, just seeing him, you'll make offense. Because he didn't look like anything or do anything that any other Vaishnav did. He was, you know, Paramahamsa and Avadhut. So he just didn't bother. And so those who are situated so nicely in the form, the devotional form, wouldn't be able to understand it. So he only had one disciple he felt could go there and not be bewildered. So that's an extreme case, but the principle is there that the mood is the most important. Of course, one sees the symptom of that mood in externals. And that's generally what acharya means. Acharya means they go to the effort to manifest the externals that go with the mood that they have. Because you see, so many devotees are there in the line, they're all bona fide, but some of them are acharyas and some of them are not. Why? Because the acharyas set the example for everyone else. And the other devotees just live their life in Krishna consciousness. You may be able to follow it, you may not be able to follow it. Right? Srinivas was the acharya. Shyamananda was not the acharya. But it's not that Shyamananda was any less advanced than Srinivas. Just Srinivas was setting an example that others could follow. Right? Shyamananda, his example would be harder to follow. It wouldn't be for someone who's trying in sadhana bhakti to get established in Krishna consciousness, his example may not in all situations be usable. Does that make sense? So that's why the mood is, one has to see what spiritually is going on. Prabhupada makes that point. So by seeing that, then so the considerations then in the one situating oneself in the material world then has to be according to devotional service and what's going to be favorable and supportive. Otherwise, not so important. Some question. Okay, question is that, it means Kapila Muni here has left, you know, the house, left the mother. Lord Chaitanya, he did the same. But then he's the Supreme Lord. These are his eternal associates, so it's kind of like, okay, he leaves now and we'll be back together tomorrow, so don't worry about it, right? And but then Srila Prabhupada, then, you know, he's leaving family life, but this is not necessarily eternal associates. Like that. But we must remember his wife was the first one to distribute his books. You know, like that. So, like that. You got it. That's there. It means the family members may feel. That's another thing. So how does this work on everything on the, you know, in question of service, higher purpose and all that? I would say is, on here, that's your main point. But I would say is your example would have a fault in it where you're saying it's easier for the Lord to leave because it's his eternal associates. The difficulty there is that... what is it? The seventh verse of the Shikshastakam. One moment, that's 11 of the second, is like 12 years or more. So therefore the separation of the devotees, of the Lord and the devotees, is never easy. You know, it's just Krishna's going back to his house after being, you know, either in the night or the day with the gopis. It's not easy. They actually have to pick him up. He's actually stiff like a board. He's stunned, you know. Radharani goes into such separation that they'll put lotus roots, which are extremely cooling, smeared with chandan. And that doesn't mean our smearing. It means, you know, heaps. And they'll put her down on that to lay on that. Within moments, the heat from her body has dried it out, and it's completely dried up. So, and then, even though she's going to see Krishna later that night, then when Krishna's coming back from the field, he'll pass by the area of their house. They'll go out to see him, and they'll still get stunned. So, that wouldn't be such a... It means, in other words, to take that line of thought wouldn't be easy, because what you're dealing with here is rasa. And so then the point is but that rasa, what makes the working principle is that it's connected to Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya can leave because it is that service to the mission. Kapila Muni can leave because of that service. And so therefore Prabhupada can leave because of that service. Means here the point is have to the question of having to leave it or not. See, is that there's means considering the rasa, okay, but leaving. What does leaving mean? That's also the point. Here it means, in other words, leaving is a state of mind. You understand? That's what has to be accomplished. Otherwise, one could physically leave and having not left, you know, like the story of those two sannyasis who are walking, right? They come to a river, they want to cross. There happens to be some lady there, she can't get across. So much to the amazement of the other sannyasi, the one sannyasi picks the lady up, carries her across as they go, and puts her down on the other side, and they walk. And so then the two sannyasis are walking for miles. And then after many miles, the second sannyasi can't contain himself anymore and blurts out, says, "I can't believe it that you as a sannyasi picked up a lady and carried her across the river." You know, it says, "How is this?" And then the first sannyasi said, "Yes, I did. I picked her up, carried her across the river, but I put her down. You're still carrying her." So these examples are given in the Shastra just to break the idea that the form is supreme. The form is important, but it's not supreme. The mood is important. So leaving family life technically doesn't necessarily mean physically it's left. It means mentally, emotionally, it's left. So vanaprastha, even though he's with the wife, he's left grihastha ashram. It's a safe ashram. He can go back to Godhead from there. Right, you know, Prabhupada mentions the renounced orders are 50% of the way back to Godhead, and grihasthi 25% chance of making it because of that. But vanaprastha is 50%, even though he's there with his wife. Why? Because he's not a grihastha anymore. The husband and wife are cooperating in their Krishna consciousness, and it's favorable. Right? There's something to do, something to push forward their Krishna consciousness. But if that's not there, then it may mean physical separation. Prabhupada was involved with the family very much. Whatever he'd do was never enough. okay, it happens. But at the same time, as we do see examples where the women are making an endeavor to be satisfied. So after a long life, if you think about it, they're satisfied. You know, of course, unlimitedly you can go on thinking this, but you know, how many saris can you get? How many bangles? How many this, that? You know, after a while, it's kind of like been there, done that, right? Like we see that Brahmin family at Ekachakra. The wife, you know, each one is saying why they should be be the one from the family to go eaten by the Rakshasa. So the wife is saying, you know, I've had a full life. I've been taken care of very nicely. I'm satisfied. So I can go now. You know, there's not anything left unsatisfied that I'm going to have to come back and take birth for. So, you know, I'm qualified. I'm ready. You know? So, but that's because there's a conscious effort. Right? It means the husband's making an effort to satisfy the wife, but the wife has to be making an effort to be satisfied. Both go together. You know, so the question Prabhupada was providing, he was giving everything. She had facility, she had house, she had children, she had, you know, they had social position, you know, they had devotion to the Lord, they had all that. But we see is that they didn't really take part, just wanted more and more, didn't want to take part in the business. So therefore, working with the family on a business platform as a basis for Krishna consciousness, right? We tried that at the very end, one of the legal devotees. He came back to the house with the idea to upgrade the business, son get involved, get money to support his society. But they're not interested. They just want the money. They don't want to work for it. You know, like that. And then when he would give lectures, right, on the Bhagavatam and all that, the family would on purpose sit upstairs and drink tea. They would never attain. So what is there that's common that's in Krishna consciousness? Right? You can say, okay, just according to duty, Vedic duty, husband takes care of wife and all that. Great. But that's up to 50. He was 55. So he had already extended it 5 years for their benefit. And they in no way, shape, or form responded. Nothing. So therefore, there is no service. And according to the Vedic obligations, that's over. In other words, if they were involved, then he could have remained as vanaprastha. Right? And then they would have been working together to push on this mission. So then there's no need to physically leave. But that wasn't there. So therefore, he moves on. It wasn't an easy decision, but it's something you do because there is no service. There is no, so personally it's connected, but if it's only him connecting and there's no reciprocation from the family, he can do that without the family. Right? In other words, his connecting the family to Krishna, but the family also responds and connects themselves also. Then you have something dynamic, but if it's one-sided, why does it have to be one-sided in the house? It'd be one-sided somewhere else. You know? So in other words, if it's going to be one-sided, then you pick an order that's one-sided. Does that make sense? Yes, that's it. Well, I wouldn't say his relationship with his... Okay, he had dreams of the spiritual master. Relationship with the spiritual master is increasing. It means that's always going on, but it's not now just because of these dreams. That's always there. But it would bring to the front kind of a direction by the spiritual master. But we see is that... Bhaktisiddhanta says what he talks about, the problem is not grihastha ashram, it's engagement in the Lord's service. Right? In other words, if it's favorable, then husband and wife as companions can do so much service together. But if it's not favorable, why bother? Because it's just, you know what I'm saying? If a man's with other men, then life goes on. There's no other considerations. It may not be exciting, but it's not trippy. Right? But family life, then there's always these emotional considerations. So if that doesn't result in Krishna consciousness, why extra endeavor to get the same thing done? You know what I'm saying? It's just reasonable. It's logical. Because one could say, no, but what about taking care of the family and this and that? But the point of taking care of the family is they're Krishna conscious. They're not interested. They won't help them. They won't help take care of themselves. They won't take care of themselves either materially or spiritually. What can you do with them? You know, the basket cases. So at this point is that sense, it's the most important thing is to go back to Godhead. In other words, you're making a contract with these other people that you're becoming God conscious, by mutual interaction, But all parties are becoming God conscious. That's the contract. So the family's not reciprocating. You technically don't have any obligation, because you could say, no, but what about considerations of what? Dead matter. You know, it's consideration of the particular form of, you know, wife and children in this particular form of dead matter. But that form is ultimately Krishna. The wifeness of it, the childrenness of it, the familyness of it is still Krishna. That potency is Krishna's. So since he can't engage in this particular manifestation favorable in connection to Krishna, then he can deal with Krishna on a higher level, more direct. Why work on the Brahman and Paramatma level when you can work on the Bhagavan level, which he then took up? You know what I'm saying? So, yes. The one who's engaged in his service is beyond sannyas, because sannyas means you're doing it to please Krishna. It's not, I'm doing it, it's mine, I give it to Krishna. That's renunciation. Sannyas means it's already Krishna's. I'm Krishna's, the work is Krishna's, the result is Krishna's. That's already sannyas. So one can be in any order, but at least in the Vedic system, minimum, you should do it in the sannyas ashram. But otherwise, any order can do it. So that's the point, but that doesn't see as, don't use that to say, well, no, but being grihastha ashram is fine. That's not the point of that verse. The point of the verse is, wherever you're situated, it's valuable because it's connected to Krishna. So whether you're a sannyasi or not, that doesn't matter. Grihe tako, bane tako, sadahari bole tako. That doesn't matter. So we're not worried if someone's a sannyasi or someone's a grihastha. We're worried is, what are they doing with it? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, we may see, okay, some sannyasis, they're not necessarily using it in the most detached way, but what's the difference between them and the grihasthas? How many grihasthas, it's dynamically, they're seeing that potency that they like so much in their wife is coming from Krishna. Go ahead, hold up one hand and then open how many fingers you know that people do like that. And how many thousands of grihasthas do we have? So those sannyasis are from the same stock. It's not that somehow the brahmacharis and sannyasis are from this other satyayuga stock. They're from the same low-class, low-end, disgusting stock that everybody else is. So if the grihasthas are nothing to write home about, and they don't, then why should the sannyasis? Why do we expect so much more? It's the same crew. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So, therefore, if we expect more from the sannyasis, expect more from the grihasthas. We're not saying drop the standards of sannyasis. Raise the standards of the grihasthas. Make it consistent. You understand? Because the principle is, we're trying to get to a platform of where everything we do is for Krishna. So it doesn't matter what situation we're in. The externals aren't the important thing. Bhaktisiddhanta says, what Thakur said, if he could have children that would be Krishna conscious, he'd have 100 of them. So that's not a problem. Right? Some brahmacharis and yajna, oh, sex, this, that, you know, the disgusting. No, he said, if I could be assured, I'd have Krishna conscious children. Why not? Right? But he wasn't confident, right? Means he's who he is. He's one of 12 kids. You know, so if in his family there were 12 of him, he probably would have thought about grihastha life. But there was one of him. Right? Others were devotees to varying degrees, but no one was like him. So if he could have, you know, if he could have 100 of him, why not? Prabhupada said if there were 8 of him, they could take over the world so easily. 50%, 25%. But the point is if someone is properly situated, yes, it's better. If you're a Paramahamsa, a Grihastha, then you're 100%. Why go at 25%? But the point is that why it said 25% is because you have your sadhana, right? But that's the part that you take as Krishna conscious. What about the other 75% of your day? That's what Kapila Muni is talking about. That's what second canto is talking about. These are the cantos that we generally avoid, right? You know, it said right. You know, one of these things it says here is that, I can't remember where it was. What it's basically saying is that this knowledge, that if you understand this knowledge by Kapila Muni, you can get out of this material world. You can't, you won't. So unless you connect yourself to Krishna and so attracted to Krishna as a person, That'll get you out, because that's the point of the whole Shankya system. But if you're not, then by analyzation, then you can those areas that are getting in your way, analyze them, bring them to Krishna. It's just like that. The guy's so attracted to his wife. But what is that attractiveness? It's not the dead matter, it's Krishna's potency in. Right? But he has an obligation to that soul who is being the medium for Krishna's potency that he's so attracted to. Therefore, he responds and takes care and everything, does the duties of a husband. But it's not the body of the wife. It's not the looks and the smiles and this and that. It's that all that happens because of Krishna's potency. He sees like that, then what's the problem? But if he doesn't see like that, then what's he dealing? Then it's illusion, because he thinks this body is making me happy. I look at it, I'm happy. Right? But it's not the body. It's Krishna's potency in that body. Right? So that's understood. So because he needs to see Krishna in that form, therefore that there's a soul willing to cooperate with him, then they have a deal there, right? You know, they can work together, right? The soul in the woman's body needs a man. The soul in the man's body needs a woman. But still, the womanness and manness is still Krishna. Does that make sense? It's still Krishna. So if that's understood, it doesn't mean that the family experience is any less. In fact, it's greater. But at the same time, it's progressive, because then they're seeing it's actually Krishna I'm attracted to and moving in that direction. Then it becomes dynamic. Otherwise, what is dynamic about it, right? It means neither it's Krishna conscious and neither do they follow the Vedic principles. So they don't even know what a husband or a wife is or what a man and woman is. It's like, you know, it's pretty lame. You know what I'm saying? So even what experience is one getting? You know what I'm saying? Prabhupada's point is someone's going to do something, then do it fully. Don't do it half-assed. You know, it's like, do it fully. You know? I mean, there was the one time, I think it was, one sannyasi got attracted by some lady and, you know, fell down and was living with her. So I think he married her. Later on, Prabhupada saw the lady. Prabhupada commented to the other sannyasi, says, he fell down for her? It's kind of like, you know, it's like, you know, what's going on here? You know, it's like, you know, it's like, so Vishwamitra, he fell down, but with who? Right? We're, you know, Menaka, one of the top five. So it's kind of like you could say, oh, that's nonsense. You know, he fell down and this, that. But with who? At least he did a good job of it. You know, so the point of Krishna consciousness, whatever you're doing it full. Right? So if you're doing business, you do business. You make money. You have family. You have a family. You know, you're doing your sadhana. You're doing your sadhana. Not when you're doing your sadhana, you're emailing this, and then when you're the family, then you're emailing that. And so you're never doing anything real. You know what I'm saying? The guy's at home, he's at the office. He's at the office, he's at home. So in the same way, that mentality being complete, full, right? That means then if he is, you know, in mentality sannyas, then that's the mentality he's using. So therefore he's a very good grihastha, but his mentality is that of sannyas. That doesn't mean he doesn't interact. It means it's connected to Krishna. Sannyas doesn't mean I don't interact, I'm nasty. Sannyas means it's connected to Krishna. Therefore, in the Vedic literature, we see brahmacharis deal nicely with ladies. There's no example of a brahmachari not dealing nicely, pleasantly, with respect. There isn't one. Right? But at the same time, they're brahmacharis. They're doing that completely. They're doing that fully. Basically, training is that, okay, we talked about here this nice form of detachment, where it's all done according to etiquette and everything, but what happens if one's in a situation that didn't exactly go according to the textbook? So then what does one do? Basically, it's a very general question, so to get a quite a general answer also, is that it's still the same point. Kapila Muni's given the aspect of Shankya to analyze, to be able to analyze what's going on. Then you have to see what has put you in that situation, and if that situation is actually appropriate. In other words, once in a renounced situation, are you able to function within that in reality? Right? One's always trying to be renounced, but the situation is where you express that renunciation. You know what I'm saying? The brahmachari has to be renounced because he has to do whatever he's told by the temple commander or the spiritual master or anything like that. But husband also has to be very renounced because he has to do whatever needs to be done for the family. So renunciation is always the principle, it's just the medium. So now, if one is suited for that medium that he finds himself in, but at the same time, if it was done and it wasn't a very nice way he got there, how did he get there? Because if he doesn't understand that, he'll do it again. Maybe not with the wife, maybe with a friend, or maybe with someone else. But the same mistake will be made. Because relationship's relationship. They function on the same patterns. Just there's nuances that differentiate between the different rasas. But the basic principle of that being conscious and being considerate is the basis of all of them. If you're not conscious and considerate, you can't function in any relationship. So what created the acrimony, lack of consciousness, lack of consideration, what actually created that? Because it's important, because otherwise one may do that again. So it's not, okay, I'm in this and that, and just write that off. Yes, you do have to deal with the moment in this. You have to be in the present. But at the same time, as you have to learn from it and see, okay, well, what generated that? What went wrong? Why did it come out that way? Does that make sense? Okay. It means from here you'd have to take it and apply it in the specifics. Does that make sense? Like that. Okay, so then we'll end here. If anyone wants to continue with any questions, then after 5 minutes we'll continue. Sorry. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Chaitanya Gaura Premanandi.